Hello, everybody, wherever you are. It's Raphael Kushner here, and I'm really delighted to be hosting this P4 informational call. P4, of course, stands for Presence, Purpose, Passion, and Power, and that's the name of our year-long program that is going to be entering into its 10th year in 2014. I'm really excited about this phone call today because on the phone we have two people who are currently in the program. We have some people who are already signed up for the program. We have people who are considering signing up for the program and other people who are just more generally interested in learning more about what we do and why we do it. And I'm hoping that this call tonight will be lively and varied, and I'm hoping that especially for you all who are with us live, but also for the people, the many, many, many people who have signed up to listen to the recording later, that a format tonight that I'm going to share in a moment will allow you to really get a good sense of the program and also to be able to hone in on the questions that you personally would want to know about P4. Now, one of the things that we do in P4 and that we also do in all of the programs that I facilitate is we start with the here and now. So I want to ask you all, whether you're listening live or listening to the recording, just to take a moment and turn your attention, mind, body, emotion, spirit, to where you are right now, what's prominent in your being, and especially to notice your body, whether you are more noticing physiological sensations or emotional ones or both. Just notice and allow. Create as much space as you can for whatever is present to be met with a soft, spacious opening. A yes to all of that. And you can continue doing that as I'm going to share with you something kind of darkly humorous that's in my field of being right now. And that is that we could either thank or curse the technology gods, because in order to do this call with you tonight, I need both phone service and internet service. And up until about 15 minutes ago, both of those had gone completely dead on my end. So it gave me a lot to live the questions with. Many of you know what I mean by that. What is happening right now, and can I be with it? As a stress mounted in me around the prospect of 100 people from around the world dialing into a teleconference that doesn't exist because the facilitator is not able to enable it. That was a lot to keep being with, to notice the tension in my body and my shoulders and in my forehead, and noticing that sense of anxiety that ramps up when you don't know what's going to happen. And I just kept practicing as best as possible to come back to the now. What am I actually experiencing? Can I welcome and allow it? And it got me through. And luckily, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, everything got restored. So I'm very grateful for that and grateful that I could be with you all on this call. So what I'm going to do is kind of go through the cycle of how people think about the program when they first learn about it, when they watch the videos that are on my website. And I'm going to join with Robert and Dale, who are current P4 members for 2013, and ask them to share a little bit about their experience. And along the way, I will keep pausing to see if anybody has any questions, any comments, any feedback, those of you who are not in the trialogue that Dale and Robert and I are going to be having. But the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Dale. First, I'm going to make sure that she can hear me, okay? Hi, Dale, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Raphael.
Hi, good to be with you. Thanks so much for doing this call. And I want everybody to know that Dale and Robert volunteered to be on this call tonight without any sense of preparation. I didn't tell them what we were going to be talking about because I wanted them to just be in their own authentic truth as they shared with you. And Dale, I want to just ask you the first question to get us going. Last year when you got the notice about P4 and you were considering joining, what was going through you in terms of why you thought it might be a good fit for you or it might add to your own personal worker process? How were you holding it as you were considering whether to apply for the program?
Well, I was actually enrolled in your Vulnerability Project program, and I had found that program so rewarding, just helping to go a little deeper, some getting some understanding, exploring places that I hadn't formally explored yet, and I thought this would be an opportunity, the P4 program might be an opportunity to go sort of even deeper and sort of deeper and broader than the Vulnerability Project. And so that was my first initial thought, because once the P4 or the Vulnerability Project ended, I was really disappointed. I kind of missed it and I thought, oh no, now what? And the P4 program seemed like the perfect answer to that. And in actual fact, it was.
Okay, great. Well, we'll get to the it was later. I really appreciate that first answer. And before I jump over and include Robert in the conversation, let me just ask you, at that time when you were considering the program, did you have any trepidation about it? Was there anything that you wondered, like, is this going to be a good fit for me or not?
I'm not sure if I really did, but I know that you and I had a conversation, and after that conversation, it was pretty clear that that this was sort of the route I wanted to go. I had done a lot of work sort of on my own, and the main subject of the conversation that you and I had was about community. And you were talking about how the P4 program really develops a community of the 10 to 12 people around, you know, sort of these different areas and subjects and growth and stuff like that. And I had really wanted community. I was ready for some community. And so that was a big positive thing. And when you and
Good.
I talked about that, that was like, yes, this is what I really want.
Yeah, good. Well, I want to just extract a couple special things from what you were describing. The first one is, in case it's not fully clear to everybody who's thinking about the program or just wondering about it, I do have an in-depth conversation with everybody who takes part, or I've worked with them one-on-one or in an intensive retreat, or both. And the reason for that is because I want to make sure that it's the right program for them at the right time, and it's different than a program. So like if you sign up for a workshop at the Esalen Institute or at the Omega Institute, for example, or even online, last year's Vulnerability Project that you were in, or this year's renamed version of that, which is called the Hidden Power of Emotions, in all of those cases, it's come one, come all. And P4 is different because it's such a sacred community and we are coming together to do such important personal work that I feel like one of my great responsibilities is making sure that the people who I say yes to and draw together into the program are going to get out of it what they hope, and also that they're a good fit, not just for their own work, but for the group as well. So I do have a conversation with everybody before I and they decide if it's a good fit for them to be in P4. And then the other thing which you brought up, Dale, which I appreciate so much, is that theme of community, because in the many, many years that I've been doing this work, I've come to see with greater strength and conviction, every step of the way, that we're really not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to do the deepest work by ourselves. We're not skin encapsulated beings, even when you get right down to it. And sometimes the decision to say, I need community and I choose community to do my healing work, is the most important decision we can make, because we surrender to the communal nature of our beings And then that allows our unique expression of self to come through in an ever more healed and shining way. And so the two key features of the P4 program are that community and the time over which the community first forms and then stays together, because there's nothing like a year of life to really do our work, to find out where we get triggered. You know, we think we're doing great and then something big comes up, a life change, or we're there to support someone else in the group in a very serious life change for them that reflects back on our own issues and provides a healing opportunity for us that we wouldn't have had otherwise. So I would say, from having done P4 for 9 years and going into the 10th year, that the context of a communal container of presence and connection is the most healing thing that I found. So you're right on with me as far as I'm concerned in the community piece. So thank you for all of that, Dale. And I'm going to jump over now and ask the same question to Robert. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good, Raphael. How are you?
I'm excellent. So you're a person who is a little different from Dale, because she was saying how she'd done a lot of work on her own and was drawn to the community aspect of P4. You're a person who has done a lot of work in other kinds of community environments and groups. And so can you share with us what it was about P4 at first that was making you think, oh, there's a place where I want to spend a good portion of my time and energy continuing on my path?
Well, sure. What was coming up for me, and I also participated in the Vulnerability Project, but I was drawn to it already even before I had that experience, because what I'd been noticing was how much of the time I didn't know what I was feeling. And it was a new recognition. You know, maybe in a general way I knew that about myself, but I was really coming up against that reality that a lot of the time I simply did not know what I was feeling in any, with any clarity or any depth. And so when I read, when I did the Vulnerability Project, and before that when I read about it, what you were describing was already resonating with me pretty strongly. And I had done a lot of work, you know, like 17 years with other groups. And I wasn't sure what the group experience would be like. I think I felt some trepidation about that. I was very clear that this was the kind of work I wanted to do. That feeling of trepidation was dispelled after the first time we met in Portland in January. And that continued to build. What you described about the relationship between having group support, feeling the acceptance of the group, and personal development. What I experienced was a lot of freedom. I experienced more self-acceptance because of the group experience as it went on, culminating in our last weekend. That was the highest point for me of feeling totally comfortable, totally integrated, total interaction with everybody in the group, and at the same time, feeling my freest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, Robert. And I just want to go back to something that you mentioned. You said you had some trepidation about the group experience.
Yeah.
And I think that most people who would be listening to us now or on the recording could really relate to that trepidation. And we'll talk in a moment about how that was dispelled the way that you just described in the first retreat. But let's just give a little space to the trepidation. You know, when you're back there and you're thinking, I don't know, should I really do this? Is this the right thing for me? What would be the things that you would be worried about would make it so that it wasn't the right group for you?
Well, one thing was I'm probably 20 years older than the average person in our group. So I was wondering if that would be an issue for some people. That was one concern. Another concern was, what would the people be like? You know, would they be, you know, my kind of people. And I'm not sure what that meant. I didn't use that phrasing to myself. But there was some feeling of whether they'd be kindred spirits. That's really what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those were two concerns. And then another concern I had was, what would you be asking us to do? You know, well, what would we be doing in the group? I wasn't
right
clear about that. That was a matter of concern. I thought, boy, you know, who knows? Who knows what I might be asked to do?
Yeah. Those are all great things that I want to speak to, Robert, and I'm really appreciating both you and Dale for bringing up the pieces that allow me to build out the picture for people. One of the things you mentioned was about age, and you know, we've had people in the program who are in their 20s and people in the program who are in their 80s, and one of the things that's really important to me is not just that we have a variety of age, and gender and sexual orientation and socioeconomic class, but it comes to your next piece, which is, you know, will these be my kind of people? Will these be kindred spirits? And what I find is that if we were to have a group where everybody was very much similar, you know, they had similar ages and times of life and spiritual paths, whether they went through Buddhism or Judaism or a spirituality in a unity context, that uniformity doesn't actually make for the most exciting community. That when we can find a way to be welcoming to ourselves and each other with a lot of difference, that actually goes way deeper, and we find that it's possible to have what you're calling kindred spirits, even with lots and lots of difference. And that's what I'm so excited about, and that's what I go for in the group. So I'm the only one who knows everybody before they get together, and I have a kind of an eye and a heartfelt sensing about that before we all begin, which is, I'm not choosing purposely to get a bunch of people who are very different, but it always seems to happen that way, that the people who get drawn in have a quest that is similar to deepen in their personal process and in a community process. And after that, you know, it's just naturally there's a wide variety of people, and I think that that's what makes it really rich. And the other thing I just want to draw out, Robert, from what you were talking about is the question around what will he have us do. And one of the things that I don't do is share with people the overall content and process for the year before we start the program. And even once the program has started, we have a theme for each month that I only share with people right as that month is going to begin. And it's not because I'm choosing to hold out, but it's because I want each month to be as absolutely fresh for everyone as it can be. And there's something kind of fun and exciting when I send out the month's program by email. Everybody gets to see, oh, what are we going to be working on this month, and how does that build on what we did last month? And also, who will my practice partner be in this month? All of those things are fresh, you know, each time we reset going into the next month. And I think that's really important on the one hand for the reasons I just mentioned, but it does create sometimes a little wondering, like, well, what if I don't like it? What if it's not going in the direction that's best for me? And that's why it's really important to share with all the listeners that a fundamental principle for our work is that you are always at choice. You take the suggested material and processes and practices, and you find a way to make them work for you every month. So if it feels like it's not quite a fit, we talk about it. We adjust. And that way, you get to be in the group without having to sign on or do something that doesn't actually feel like it serves you as we go forward month to month. And the other part of that is that in some months, people have a lot of time to spend. Maybe they'll work on P4 stuff, including their partner call and the group call, for 10 hours out of the month. But there might be other months where they're very busy, and they can still figure out a way to do it in just a few hours, because it's kind of background processing. once you're in the community and you're in the program, it kind of works on you whether you're working on it. And that's what makes it pressure-free, because that's one thing that I can promise everybody about P4 is that once you make the commitment to join the group, it's my commitment to you that we're going to find a way to do it that doesn't create stress for you, because stress would only, you know, get in the way of what it is that we're meant to be doing together. So, Robert, I want to thank you for that, and I'm going to come back to you shortly. But I just want to pause to see if there's anybody who wants to share their own trepidation or question about this. We're going to go forward in a few moments, Dale and Robert and I, in our path through the year to give you more and more possibility to reflect on how these things might be for you. But right now we're still talking about, like, should I be in P4? Is it right for me? And I'm wondering if anybody has any question about that in particular. Hit 1 on your keypad and I'll come to you and I'll take your question. And if you don't have, if no one wants to ask about that, we'll move forward. But I do see one person's hand is up right now, so I'm going to go to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you
Good.
Hear me?
Tell me. I can. Tell me about your question or your thought.
Well, it was just exactly what you just said at the very end there about no pressure, making this as stress-free as possible, because I've been part of a training that I've been doing that I've mentioned to you before that was incredibly stressful and took an enormous amount of time. And so I've just finally stopped that. And so I have some ambivalence about, you know, putting myself back into a container that's going to have more of that kind of ongoing, constant demand. So I'd just like to hear a little bit more about how do you make it stress-free? That's
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm going to keep you on the line. You'll be live here as I describe this, and I'll
Oh, okay, great. I didn't even know that it wasn't live. So
No,
great.
No. What I mean is that I'm not going to mute you, so we can have a little dialogue as we go forward. But but what I was going to say is that there are a couple of points about that. There's when you first come to meet a new group of people, there's always some natural nervousness and stress. And I'm thinking about when we all arrive at the retreat center, which is a beautiful place outside of Portland, up on the way to Mount Hood. And again, I'm the one who knows everybody. So my job is to, you know, put everybody at ease as much as possible. And really the first retreat itself is designed to not focus so much on material and practice, even though we do some of it. It's really designed to create a group bonding that's going to allow us to go through the year together in the best possible way. So there will be a little bit of stress just from the nervousness as people arrive, especially the airport and all that kind of stuff. But we pick you up, and by the time most people arrive at the retreat center, they've already had a good connection with you know, one or more people in the group. And usually by Saturday lunchtime, because we start on Friday evening at dinner, usually by Saturday lunchtime people are starting to feel like, okay, yes, yes, this is a good place for me. But the other thing is that while we're talking about stress-free, it becomes really important to talk about the things that are kind of non-negotiable about our group, which allows for the freedom of and the stress-free quality to come into play. And let me describe a little bit what I mean by that. Those of you who are listening who've been in the Vulnerability Project or who've been in Hidden Power of Emotions this year know that I make a strong plea for people to really communicate in their small groups in the forums. But most of you, if you're not really fortunate, know that that can only go so far, meaning that even with my best efforts, a lot of people participate only a little bit, or they don't do their weekly posts. And sometimes that can be really discouraging for people because they're really looking for community and connection. And I'm aware of the limits that I have in making sure that that happens. But with P4, it's really different, because we are a group, usually of 12 people, and therefore we need to know that each other is going to be there in a kind of solid way as we go through the year together, because otherwise we can feel the strength of the community starting to leak out if someone really isn't there. So what I do is I talk about what the commitment is at the basic level. And the commitment is that you will, except in rare situations when you're going to be out of the country or something like that, that you'll be part of our monthly conference call, which is interactive on Maestro Conference where we are right now, so we can do breakout groups and things like that. That's just a two-hour commitment once a month, and you know all those dates in advance. And if somebody has to miss a month, like I said, it's not terrible, but you know that you're going to be there for most of them. And then the other thing that's the most important is that when you get your assignment of who is your partner each month, which is a different person from the group, the two of you, once you see your names connected, reach out to one another by email or phone and try to figure out when is the time that you're going to be able to connect during the month. And I ask people to set up an early in the month time to talk about the theme and the practices that I've presented, and then a later time in the month before the group call, so that they get the benefit of each other's experience and support and perspective. And that's something also that people need to be able to do. Again, sometimes it's such that you only get to connect once a month, but that's kind of rock bottom what we need to make sure happens. And you know, you get a chance, because it's just you and your partner, to figure out when is a mutually convenient time. So there's that. And then before we do each monthly conference call, I ask people to write just a little bit on our group site about their experience with the month's theme. And that can be as little as a couple paragraphs or as much as people feel really drawn to contribute. But the reason for that is that if we all get a chance to look at what you've written before the call, then when we go into a group dialogue together about everybody's experience, we, and especially me as the facilitator, can take it deeper. So rather than just saying, you know, how was the month for you, when it's your turn and we're starting to talk about your experience, I can say, you know, oh, I really appreciated what you had to say about this or that, or I was intrigued and wanted to ask you more about this that you wrote. And then everybody gets so much more out of the call experience. So with those commitments that I just mentioned, and people knowing that they're going to be able to do that for the most part, that's what allows everybody to relax, because they realize, okay, if I just do that, I'm good. And some months I may make a deep dive with the material, and other months not so much. Some months may feel like, wow, synchronicity, that's exactly what's up for me. How did he know? And then other months you might look at the theme and say, I don't know exactly if that resonates with me right now, because how could it for 12 different people each month? But all of that is okay, because as long as everybody is adhering to the basic commitments, then everything else is fine. And it's that structure and the shared commitment, I think, more than anything, that allows everybody to realize, okay, I'm welcome as I am, no matter how much I can do, as long as I do that. Does that make sense, Nancy?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Good, good. So do you have any other thoughts or questions, or do you feel like you got a good, complete response from me? Or
well,
maybe there's
actually,
something more you want to ask.
Well, you gave a very complete response, and it pointed to what was underneath for me, I think, because I had a felt, you know, body sensation in response to the pairing up, because I've been in groups where, you know, people, you know, don't respond to the task. So you're kind of left hanging, you know, you don't get as much out of the experience. And I'm wondering how you deal with that.
Yeah, so that's a great question too, or and a follow-up really to your first question.
Yeah.
Because I think of myself in this group as a kind of a papa bear. I think of myself as very protective of the community. So when somebody isn't showing up, if that happens in some way, or even if I sense that it's starting to happen, then I get in touch with that person and we talk about it. And it might be because there's something that together we can clear up. It might be because maybe they started to fall into a habit that they have of isolating or otherwise, you know, not getting the most they can out of a group. But the main point is that in a gentle, always loving and non-judgmental way, we get to the bottom of it and we find out, you know, what is the best road forward. In the beginning of the year when people sign their agreement letter, they recognize that they're agreeing to a year and that once the first retreat starts, I can't replace them. So that would mean, first of all, a loss to the group if, you know, we didn't have them with us. And, you know, just frankly and personally on my side of things, it means that that person's participation that they're paying for isn't going to be there, and everybody's funds contribute not just to their own experience and to me, but also to the retreats, which come out of the overall funds that come in for people's enrollment. So it really matters in a lot of different ways. However, there are times, not in every year, but in some years, where we really look at it and we decide, as I talk to this person, that it's not in their best interest to continue in the program, and sometimes maybe also not in the group's best interest, and we make an adjustment. So that happens. And it's okay with me that it happens because it's much more important that we're real with what happens in a person's life rather than we just think either, okay, it was a cut and dried commitment, you got to show up, or that I let it be kind of, pardon my French, half-assed, like somebody is there not enough and everybody knows it and feels it, but somehow we're just not addressing it. As soon as I feel like that kind of energy is there, I do my very best to address it.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, good, good. Well, thank you, Nancy. It was great to hear those questions and to be able to respond to them. So I want to, in a moment I'm going to come back to Dale, but I just want to check and see if anybody has any questions about anything. Some of you might have to go because, you know, you maybe just popped on the call for a little while. Just hit one on your keypad at any time and I'll come to you and answer your question. It could be procedural, it could be about a small detail, or it could be about the kind of larger themes that we're talking about overall. But I'll keep looking to see if there's anything that anybody, you know, wants to ask, and I'll come to you as soon as I can. But right now I'm going to go back to Dale. Hi, Dale. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Good. So,
yes.
So Dale, you said early on when I was asking for you to share, you talked about what you were looking for in terms of community, taking that next step, going deeper with a group of people, and wondering whether P4 would fit that bill for you. And you said, and it had. So I was wondering if you can just talk about that for you, for your experience. How did it work for you? What would you want people to know who are considering taking part in the program about how it did its thing for you?
Okay. Well, I think, gosh, how do I summarize this? Well, I think in the beginning it was really sort of surprising for me, I think, because you know, some of the environments that I've been in, I hadn't always felt supported, or you know, that it was okay just to be me. And in the beginning, when I would, you know, the first retreat or, you know, a blog post or my conversations, everyone was just so supportive. And to be honest, it felt strange for me. It was like, wow. It was very surprising because I'd never really experienced it in such an open and honest and real way. There was, you know, it wasn't like they're supporting me to get something. There was no agendas or anything. It was just what it was. It was just loving support, and it just felt really good. And so as the year has progressed, it just got easier. It got easier and easier to just accept it, and that it was actually real and it was really happening. And then I would say at the retreat, the second retreat in October, the thing that really hit me the most was, and I think I had mentioned this to you, Raphael, at dinner, is, you know, when we're sitting around and talking and, you know, it's so relaxed and it feels really good. And I sort of realized on a really deep level that what this experience for me is to sort of imprint on my being what it feels like to be in an environment that is supportive and truly loving and unconditional, because that was like a new experience for me, not, you know, separate from the group over the year, but it was like, it felt like it was imprinting on the cellular level, this is what a safe place feels like. And so it feels like moving forward in my life, if I meet people or I'm in environments that aren't safe, it won't take me months to sort of figure it out. Instead, it'll just take minutes, and I won't, quote unquote, waste time with people or with environments that aren't emotionally safe, that aren't sort of spiritually safe, because it feels like this whole community and this whole year and the sort of the dynamic has just shown me what true emotional and spiritual safety is.
That's a really beautiful evocation, and I really appreciate that. And once again, you've touched on something, even though we didn't prepare anything together, that is really crucial, and that's the piece around safety. People who work with me know that we're always trying to create the safest group or safest room on the planet. And in P4, that's kind of exponentially true, because we need that safety to do our work. And as you just described so beautifully, Dale, so many of us don't know that, haven't had it, don't feel it as a kind of a natural state in our being. And it takes some getting used to, and then once you get it, it becomes so powerful. First of all, just the joy of being able to connect with other people in a new way, but also being able to find out what happens in that safety when stuff comes up. And I'm going to jump right now from you, Dale, and then I'm going to bring Robert in, because at our second retreat, which is always so delightful because after having been together for 7 or 8 months, we get together, instead of at a retreat center, we get together in a big house that we share. And there's still lots of privacy and space, but also it does feel like a family coming together. And maybe it feels a lot like the kind of family that we would wish that we might have been in, other than the one that we were. That's not true for everybody, but it's certainly true for me. That's one of the reasons why I love doing this work. But once we have that container of safety, then a lot of new kinds of things can happen for us. And something happened on the very first night when we were having dinner at our retreat, where Robert was telling a story, and he is filled with life and enthusiasm, and at one point in the story, he was describing how he needed to really be kind of aggressive in a particular situation, and so his voice raised, and he was very big in his presence, and it was all very perfect and just right, but just also accidentally, that triggered one of the other participants who was sitting there at the dinner table, because she has a difficult time with big expressions of emotion, especially strong male energy. And she was triggered. And some of us knew about that and were kind of gently making sure that she knew that we saw her and we were kind of with her, but we were also giving her some space. And I knew that shortly after that we were going to convene for our first session, our evening session, on the night that we were coming together. And as we went around the room and did our check-ins, a lot of people were very excited and pleased to be there. And then we got to this participant, and she said, "I'm having a really hard time." And that kind of moment is the one where so many of us otherwise would check out. We would either downplay it or repress what we were feeling so that we could be with the group, or we would get reactive and start, you know, blaming or shaming or somehow creating drama around our experience, which would kind of fray the sense of safety that we work so hard at. And so what was beautiful about this other participant is that she named that she was triggered and that she was really having a hard time, and she said exactly why it was, and there was Robert sitting on the other side of the circle, and now he had to take in, oh, look at that. And he wondered about it before, but then now it was right there in front of him. And without the safety of the group and the year that we were committed to together, it would have been so easy for either people to take it on or for other people in the group to have their own reactions. But something happened in that moment where just the willingness to let the other participant share her experience, feel her way through it, and then coming to Robert and letting Robert share and be with whatever was coming up for him actually deepened everybody's sense of connection. And at least speaking for me, I was glad that that happened. Not that there was a triggering and an upset, but that happens over and over through the year. Not that we're always getting triggered all the time, but the point is every time that we see that there's a place that one of us is getting stuck or challenged, it becomes an opportunity for that person to go deeper and then for the rest of us to go deeper, both personally and as a group. So now I'm going to bring you back in, Robert. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Rafael.
Okay, good. So that was my sort of quick take on what happened, but I thought it would be good to see if you wanted to share a little bit about it, because here you are, you know, kind, gentle Robert, and suddenly you find out that this other person has been upset by what had happened earlier at dinner. And I'm wondering if you could just speak to how you used the group and how you used our work through the year to that point to be able to let that be a positive experience for you and for her. What would you want to share about that?
Well, you know, Rafael, that was a big deal for me because I would say part of my pattern in life has been to avoid ever being in a position where I've done something that offends somebody else or hurts them in some way, because typically I feel a lot of guilt if that happens. And the amazing thing was that when this happened, when Robin shared, I didn't have an idea of how deeply she had felt what I said. I felt a lot of love towards her, and I didn't feel guilt. It was like I wasn't in the picture in the usual way. That part of myself that's had that kind of concern wasn't there. What was there instead was a sense of connection, and it was a feeling of being in the group. It was relating to her, but also feeling all of that in the. I think what made it possible was the feeling about the group, that there was a sense of participating beyond my usual concerns, say ego concerns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I really appreciate the way you said that, and it's the group and the connection that develops with everybody that makes that happen. And, you know, we, at the retreat, the first one where we all get together, obviously you're going to have some deeper connection with one person or another, and most people have a roommate, although you don't have to have a roommate, and so you have more time with that person. And you find yourself naturally drawn to one person or another more than the rest, because we're all human and we have preference. But as you have the different partners each month, and you have your phone calls, maybe you spend 45 minutes the first call and an hour the second call, you really get a chance to reflect very deeply for each other where you're at and what you're moving through. And you start to add to your sort of collection of people that you have a special affinity for. And that just keeps growing. So by the time we did get to the retreat in October, it could have been the other participant. It could have been Robert. It could have been anybody else that had something like that come up. But we all have a strong enough sense, first of all, of who we all are, and also that we know how to hold it together, that we can use those kinds of experiences for our advantage. Now, I want to clarify that it's not exactly like group therapy. We're not constantly working on what's coming up for us in every moment, both within the group and in our lives. We get a chance to step back and look at our individual personal and spiritual path throughout the course of the year. So I think it's that blend of distance, where we get to do our work. We're not all in the same place geographically. Sometimes we're all around the world. This year we had someone from Norway, and this coming year we might have someone from Japan. But it's the closeness of the group and the space to focus on our work in the way that's best for us that I think is the blend that has made the program really successful and really deep and profound for people over the years. And for me personally, it's just something that is ever more gratifying, because I don't hide behind the facilitator role. I hope I'm a strong facilitator, but also I share about my own personal situation often. Sometimes I join in the activities. So we really do feel like a community, and I know I'm constantly inspired by the work that people are doing in the program, and it definitely teaches me as well. So Robert, thank you for sharing a little bit more about that. And if there is anybody who has a question or a comment or a concern, go ahead and once again hit 1 on your keypad and we'll come to you. And again, you know, sometimes people wonder about the technical stuff like the travel or can I get gluten-free meals at the retreats and things like that. And all of that is something that I'm happy to talk to you about. And I'm going to go now to somebody who wants to ask a question, and that is Giovanna. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yeah, that's just right.
Great. So what did you want to ask or share about?
Well, I had a couple questions. I wondered if all of the people are in the group for the first time.
Oh, that's a great question. In all the years that I've done P4, it's always been everybody in it for the first time, with the exception of one person who felt like she didn't give it her all because there was a lot of distraction in her life, and she wanted to repeat a second time to get more out of it. And so that seemed like a good idea, and so she's the only exception. And the other thing, though, is that almost every group, when they're done, doesn't feel like they want to stop. So they find some way to stay together in their own kind of, sometimes we call it P5, or they make up their own names. But not everybody always wants to participate, but usually there's a core of people. Like last year's group decided what they wanted to do is go through the program again without a facilitator, but focusing really on their own strengths. And as they evolved, they decided, okay, well, now we want to do something different. Whenever a new month comes, one of us will be the facilitator and we'll bring the material that we want. We might suggest people to look at a book or read an article. And so some groups have stayed together for 2 years, some have continued on for a third year, and sometimes they ask me to participate either as a facilitator or as a guest facilitator, or sometimes as what happened this last summer, they just have a big old picnic reunion in Portland and they ask me to come by, and then I just get to come by as a fellow being and not a facilitator and just hang out. So all of those things happen once people are in the program, but almost always it's newcomers altogether.
Okay.
So, and you said you had a second question.
Yeah. I was thinking, I've been a little bit shy, a little bit hesitant on offering my comments on in the hidden power of emotions. But I also think that one of the reasons that you said was not, maybe I have a habit of not getting out of groups it, so all the things come into play. But I really like the idea of knowing the people that knowing the people by having those in-person retreats. I think that's another dimension of safety. So
yeah.
I think that's great.
Now, Giovanna, something about the line, it's breaking up a little bit, so I want to say what you said back to you to make sure that I heard it correctly, okay?
Okay.
I think what you were saying was is that you sometimes find yourself a little bit shy in doing the group sharing in the current program, but you like the idea of knowing the people beforehand. Is that right?
Yes, and having an in-person connection.
Yeah, and that's why this group is really so different. We absolutely could not do the group the way that we do it if we did not come together in the beginning, because it just would not have the same depth and resonance person to person that it does. And actually there have been some circumstances where something comes up, you know, like a life challenge, an illness in the family, et cetera, and somebody is having every good intention of coming through, you know, doing the program, but they end up not being able to make it to the first retreat. And whenever they ask me about it, I always say it's not a good idea to do the program. And so what has happened a number of times is that when life has intervened, that person just postponed and did the program the next year, and the timing was better. So I'm with you. I think getting to know everybody at first is really important. And that brings one other important piece to mention. These days when we do our group calls, some people really benefit from seeing the live faces of the people who are involved. So it's voluntary, not mandatory, but we have a Google group, a hangout going during our monthly calls, so many people get to see each other as we're talking on the Maestro call. And plus, many people choose to use a Google Hangout or Skype to do their monthly connections. So all of these things help us, even though we're far apart from each other, really feel like the closeness continues throughout the year.
Mm. Yeah, I have done Google Hangout, and I do appreciate that connection. Yes.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And what we do is we do it in the background, because whenever you have to rely on that kind of technology, kind of like what happened to me earlier today with my phone and internet, it's a little bit dicey. So we don't just make it a hangout group. We do Maestro, and we can go into smaller groups, but we can, you know, in the background without the volume on Google, get a chance to see everybody in the group. And again,
that's
voluntary.
Great.
Yeah. But for some people it adds a really nice dimension. And one person from this year just said that quite honestly, without being able to see the people, it's hard for her to connect as much. And now that she can use the group for that, she feels much more engaged in our monthly calls. Yeah, good. So anything else, or does that feel complete for
now? I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Do you know what day the monthly conference is? I have very few commitments I can't change. I have one that I can't.
Well, we have traditionally our monthly calls have been on Monday nights. And we usually do Monday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And apologies in advance for people who are on the East Coast or farther east, and sometimes it's late into the night for them, but we try to keep them awake. But so that's unless something changes, it will be Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific time when we have our monthly calls.
And there are no partners that take the group together, I assume.
There are no partners. Can you say that a different way so I understand?
Like husband and wife, or
that's another great question. I'm guessing that you are asking, because then in that case there might be additional group dynamics that would have to be worked with. Is that right?
Well, in something that I read, you were saying, well, there are no dual roles in this group.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. In the very first year that I did the program, when it was a pilot program, there was a couple in the group, and it actually did turn into something that wasn't optimal, and I felt like I really learned from that. In the years since, there's only been one other time that a couple asked to do it, and I sat with them very carefully and went over all the different details, and together we all decided that this was the right thing and it turned out to be a really good thing to have them both in the group. But we also went over certain kind of guidelines and boundaries to make sure that we, you know, protected everybody in that decision, and it turned out well. So far this year, in terms of the applicants who I've heard from and people who have expressed interest, there aren't any couples, and I doubt there will be. I think that was just more of a, you know, a one or a two time occurrence.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just want to say that with Dale and Robert and you speaking, I've had plenty of opportunities to do emotional in a good way. I really appreciate the way you're speaking about the program. Thank you.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you, Giovanna. And for you, as well as for anybody else, I would encourage you to email me if you have any questions. And actually, you know, I mentioned before that I talk to everybody before they join the program, like once they submit their application to see if it's a good fit. But also, because this program is so important to me and it's so up close and personal, I'm also happy to talk to anybody about it, even if they're not sure they want to apply. So you can just email me and say, hey, can we spend 10 or 15 minutes on the phone or Skype, just even talking about my own issue. I even got an email right before the call where someone was saying, you know, I really want to do this, but I'm not sure I'm right for it right now, and I'm not sure it's right for me. Here's why. What do you think? And those are great conversations for us to have at the outset. Sometimes people feel like it's not right for them and they need to focus on a different part of their life. Sometimes people realize actually they'd be better off just doing some sessions with me one-on-one because that's where they are in their lives. And then if it does turn out that the group is going to really serve them, you know, we can tell that both pretty clearly from even a brief conversation. So we only have a couple minutes left on the call. If you are hanging back and you want to ask something, go ahead and hit 1 on your keypad. But what I'm going to do is go to Dale and Robert and ask them, just in the spirit of the group and our community, if there's anything we haven't touched on, just in a short, you know, sharing, they would like to add to what we've covered tonight. So I'm going to go now back to Dale. Hey, Dale.
Hi. Well, I think the thing I was surprised most, it was the monthly, because I've been, you know, sort of working so diligently on, you know, different areas, you know, personally, internally, I was pleasantly surprised at how all the themes every month provided different angles to look at things that I thought I'd already seen and opportunities to go deeper. And anyway, it was really great because, you know, you'd write one sentence in, you know, the whole summary, and I'd be like, oh my God. So that was wonderful because you kind of get sort of cocky thinking, oh, hey, I know everything or I've done everything, and you realize there's always another way to see something. And so in addition to the sort of deep feeling of acceptance and community that has been so profoundly, that has so profoundly impacted me, it was also the monthly themes that allowed me to look at things in a different way that I'd never even imagined, which has been so also really, you know, wonderful.
Great. Thank you so much for that, Dale. And one of the things that Dale gives us a chance to highlight with what she shared is that, you know, there are people in the program who might consider themselves more beginners on the path and other people who might consider themselves more seasoned in their own path of personal and spiritual exploration. And I have designed the program and the materials for each month in such a way that both kinds of people can get the most out of it. So I think that when we get to a been there, done that place, it's always a little bit dangerous because, as Dale is mentioning, there's always more to open to. And I choose to arrive myself in every moment like an absolute beginner, to have beginner's mind, which only allows me to deepen more than I could otherwise. But the other thing, too, is that when you find people who are coming together in a field of deep presence, that is the gift itself. So everything else is kind of gravy. And what I find is in my life now, I gravitate to those places where there are people who not only have the safety that we were talking about before, but also the depth of presence. And I just want to celebrate that. So often in P4, we're having an incredible amount of joy and fun that comes from that aliveness that we've allowed ourselves and everybody else to really kind of swim deeply into. All right, so we just have a minute or so left, and I'm going to come to Robert. Robert, you get the participant's last word. What would you want to share with people about P4 that we haven't touched on so far tonight?
Well, you certainly covered a lot of it really well. When I had the sense that with the material that was presented that I could come back to it, those blogs that you sent out have so much in them that I've been able to go back to them and plan to use them in the future. One thing that I appreciated that you made very clear as we went along is when people had concerns about how they did the exercise or what they found when they did it, you always emphasized that we were working in what you call the no-fail zone, and that there wasn't a way to do it wrong, as long as you were engaging with what was up for you. That there was a way that was what you should be doing. So it wasn't there wasn't a way to not be able to do a month. Whatever happened, whether it was difficult and you just some months it was hard for me to see, where I had the feeling that I didn't get anywhere.
Yeah,
and then
that's
I would
great.
Realize
that's
at
great.
The end. I would realize at the end that wasn't the case at all. I got exactly where I was, and I saw then where I was. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's great. I love how you're ending on that note with us and for us, Robert, because you've touched on something that people will hear from me over and over through the course of the year, which is not only that you can't do it wrong, which gives everybody a chance to just relax and give that ever-assessing part of their brain a chance to take a little break. But even more than that, we come back over and over to one of our central principles that there is nothing wrong in this moment, and there is nothing wrong with you. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't things that you don't like or aren't things that you wish would change about yourself or others or the world. But we start from that place of profound acceptance, because that's where change can really happen and take root. So one of the things that I hope that any participant would come away from P4 with is a really deep sense of that truth, that there is nothing wrong in this moment and there is nothing wrong with me. And if that comes across and if that lives in people's every breath and cell, then we've done our job together, and we've really deepened in presence, purpose, passion, and power, the four P's of the program. And I'm hoping that happens again. I'm actually sure that it will happen again and that the magic will take us forward in 2014. And I'll close here tonight, again, thanking all of you for taking part now and those of you who are listening later, and reminding you to be in touch, rc@kushner.com, CUSHNIR.com. If you have any questions, issues, challenges, or if you've listened to all this and you've said, yes, this is for me, in all of those instances, I would want to hear from you, and I know it's going to be a great and special year, being that it's a decade's completion of the program. So thanks, everyone, again tonight. Good night to you all, and I look forward to connecting with all of you soon. Bye-bye for now.